Good morning. Thanks for being here. Appreciate it. I know this is an important event every year, and this year has particular importance because we are hopefully embarking on a new path to try to deal with the city's finances. And pursuant to the Long Beach City Charter, I'm transmitting the mayor's recommendation on the city manager's structurally balanced budget for fiscal 2013. As all of you know, the economy suffered a shock in 2008, and the recovery has been slow and fragile. Many economists believe we are entering a new era, the new normal, marked by slow to moderate growth, higher unemployment, and competition on a global scale. Rather than long for the good old days of government, or worse, continue policies that reflect the belief that they won't return, we need to embark on a new reality and change the way we conduct the public's business. In doing so, we will be at the vanguard of American cities, fostering economic growth, entrepreneurship, building opportunity, and enhancing the environment, environmental sustainability, all possible through strongly rooted fiscal policy that provides maximum value for residents. The changes will affect every area of government service.
Sound too.
No one should impugn the work performed by public employees or the contributions they make to our city. They are the people who perform the functions that we rely upon every day, from public safety to public works. They are not, however, a special class immune from the economy or modern work rules and sustainable salaries and benefits. Technical provisions of employment contracts are rarely changed. Often, contract provisions dealing with overtime, skill pays, vacation pay, and other forms of special compensation have been layered on and gone unexamined for decades. This obscures the true costs of benefits and makes it difficult for any city council to make responsible fiscal choices. It is difficult to even explain why some of these bonuses exist, and more difficult to see a public benefit. The result is a complex set of work rules and bonus pays, the purpose and need for which is long forgotten. It costs the city millions of dollars a year with no attendant increase in service for residents. With the number of skill pays available to city employees, it's not surprising that a large portion of the workforce is receiving multiple skill pays. Eliminating these represents a significant cost savings option as presented by the management partner's report to the City Council. Without question, pension reform is a must in the new normal. The need for reforms is abundantly clear, and the leadership of the represented groups must appreciate the new reality and help their members create a new compact with the city for a sustainable structure. Bargain hard, but the old, I give you this and you give me that, will not work here. I again want to applaud and thank the Police Officers Association and the Firefighters Association for their adoption of part of this new compact with their agreement on pension reform. I am, of course, disappointed that the International Association of Machinists, the IAM, has still not accepted pension reform. We have tried for nearly 2 years, during which they have received 7% increases in salary. Each year of delay costs our residents $12 million in services and much more in unfunded costs for the future. If the IAM continues to be intractable, I will place a pension measure on the ballot. It is not my preferred path, but it is a necessary outcome, and I am left with no other option. Understanding that pay and benefits must be fair, how the work is performed should be determined by a competitive framework that produces maximum value for residents. Importantly, we have an obligation to examine services where the private sector could perform work more effectively, reduce costs, or provide a revenue stream as opposed to an expense for the city. The recent benchmarking report by Management Partners indicates that the city of Long Beach had the highest staffing for 1,000 people of all the cities studied. We were nearly twice the median. Now, while not definitively proving there is a problem with Long Beach staffing levels, this fact certainly leads to a question about whether we are making effective use of funds. Other cities are spending less, in part because they make more use of the private sector to save money. This makes even more sense when pension costs and the weight of obsolete work rules are added into the calculation. Look at the reforms underway in Chicago under Mayor Emanuel. Sometimes the private sector can do better work for less money. We need to take advantage of that reality moving forward. All of our functions should be reviewed in this light. Many, if not most, other cities perform work such as custodial services, street sweeping, and refuse hauling via the private sector. We will not only save money for residents, but we can apply savings to critical government functions such as public safety and improved streets and sidewalks. We should also examine if some functions need to be performed by government at all. For example, city employees still do oil changes on city vehicles. Why? Does anyone doubt that this service is readily available in the private sector for less? It is a small issue, but it is indicative of a complacency that cannot exist in the new normal in which we now live. If we competitively contract certain services, which makes sense, make the contract changes to reduce overtime and reduce the number and availability of premium pay, we can save an estimated $27 million annually. It will make us leaner, ease operational management, and in some cases, provide better service. The savings from these changes would nearly eliminate our three-year deficit and bring us into honest, structural fiscal balance. And this needs to be done before there is any attempt to raise taxes. We must continue consolidation of functions to eliminate waste and reduce administrative overhead. We need to not only look internally for consolidation, but externally as well. Internally, we should consider a common purchasing function for all city departments, including all the enterprise funds. Costs could be reduced, and this simply is common sense, not to fragment purchases of goods and services. Further, our public works department performs many similar functions to the water department and oil and gas. All three departments are heavily involved in street cuts and other infrastructure activities. If we gain nothing more than having the same street cut up once instead of three times, it will be worth it. Externally, we should explore ways in which we can conduct work jointly with other cities around us to provide better and more efficient service. There is a natural tendency to guard your turf, but that turf is paid for by our residents. Regardless if it's a tax or a utility rate, we need to serve them, not some bureaucratic fiefdom. This new direction for our city will not be easy. We will be told we need to do business the Long Beach way and work as a family. We will be told that enterprise funds are businesses and should be treated differently. Let me try to put this another way. You would not pay more for something in your family's budget if you could get it to get the same service for a better price, or pay at all when you didn't need the service at all. Neither would you refuse to save money simply because the source of payment was a different checking account. Regardless of the source of public money, whether it's taxes, a grant, or fees for service, spending public money requires a higher standard of care than you exercise even with your own funds. The truth is, we need to do the public business the right way for all the residents who are paying the bill. I continue to believe that public service is a noble calling. I want our residents to have full faith that their money is being spent wisely. I want our people to have trust confidence and respect for our employees. It is not healthy for Long Beach if our city employees are seen as the source of our public finance crisis. If we do not take this road, we will continue to financially deteriorate. We will continue to deteriorate until we no longer can perform needed services and are compelled by market forces to change. That will be a painful and dangerous road and put us years behind in making changes that will require, that will be required no matter how far we put our heads in the sand. Look around the state of California. The dangers of that way of thinking are clear. I welcome the discussions that will follow over the next several weeks. And the exploration of these issues will not end with the adoption of the fiscal 13 budget. But we can do this. If we act now, we can demonstrate what I know to be true, that Long Beach is a great place full of innovation, talent, and energetic people who want to protect the future for our children and grandchildren. The future is very bright if we take the right road today. Let's do what needs to be done to bring our city back into balance and serve the people who pay our salaries. I hope you will help me make this a reality. And the following recommendations are made to the city manager's budget. First, I'd like the council to direct the city manager immediately to undertake appropriate studies to move custodial services, street sweeping, and certain technology service and revenue calling to a competitive bid for service delivery. The city manager should within a reasonable time report to the city council on other areas where the private sector can perform work now performed by city staff. The city manager should at his earliest opportunity implement discretionary changes to overtime, premium pay, standby pay, and other bonus compensation that can be made consistent with federal law without contractual alteration. The city manager should create a list of antiquated or unnecessary employee contract provisions and report his findings to the mayor and city council. And that list should serve as the priority for future contract negotiations that are coming up with a number of our represented groups. The city manager should undertake an analysis of the costs and benefits of the consolidation of departments, specifically Public Works, Oil and Gas, and the Water Department. And the analysis should include any legal issues resulting from such consolidation. While we followed the concept of proportional share for the past several years, it is now time to examine whether there are some functions that should be eliminated and not simply reduced. We may now be at the point where some functions have so little in the way of resources that they're really not worth doing at such diminished levels. We should look at that. We should embark on a comprehensive fire and police and fire services review. I know there's been a lot in the press about this lately, and I want to make sure this is clear. No one in a policy position should get caught in a panic or rush to judgment regarding crime increases. We should all remember that crime hit 40-year lows, so recent increases in some segments are applied to very low bases. The police department, which does a great job, and I want to applaud the chief and his people for doing a magnificent job with fewer resources. But they should also not be immune from efficiency or management rigor. The recent Management Partners report also shows Long Beach has not only more sworn officers, but more overall employees for 1,000 residents of comparable cities. So presented with that information, we have a responsibility to ask, are we using our resources in the best manner and in the most efficient ways possible? With that in mind, if that examination determines more resources should be applied to our police, then we must consider what we eliminate to reallocate those resources. The fire department has proposed new ways to deliver core services more efficiently at lower costs and achieve faster medical response times. I wish I could tell you that this is radically new. It is not. The service model is in place in the counties of Ventura, San Diego, San Bernardino, and Santa Barbara. And it has been for years. And since 84% of all the calls for service in Long Beach are for medical response, This one change is emblematic of the living improved service levels at lower cost. City manager to report to the city council on how the city can take advantage of the recommendations of management partners report related to changes in the city charter or municipal law. And as far as the allocation of one-time resources in the city manager's budget, I'm supportive of the majority of one-time uses proposed by the city manager, including the $2.9 million for a 40-person police academy, the $3.6 million to finally construct gender-equitable fire stations, and $2 million for creation of a risk reserve to guard against oil price fluctuations since we are moving the benchmark price of oil up from $55 to $65. That's the proposal. Additionally, I'm recommending that the City Council allocate a full, restore the $1 million to streets and sidewalk budget repair. There's a 33% cut in the present budget. I think that's an important function, and those one time should be used for streets and for sidewalk repair. And finally, I want to take this opportunity to remind the City Council of significant potential costs resulting from the pending decision on furlough litigation relating to previous budget years. That decision may present a need to remand substantial payment. And I want to note that as of today, the city has not identified a funding source for those costs. One-time funding sources or additional mid-year cuts are likely the only options. I just want to keep that in mind. I want to thank you for your attention. This is an important year for the city of Long Beach. I think we need to embark on a different path. We need to have the pressure of a competitive environment on everyone. Everyone should feel that pressure. And if we can't do that, we need to create, in effect, the surrogate for that in everything we do. That's how we get the work done quickly. That's how we get it done efficiently. That's how we save money for our residents. And that, to me, in large measure, in addition to the other things we're doing, will be the way we can get back into structural balance without asking our residents to come out of pocket in this difficult economic times. I thank you. I'll now have the city manager come up, and he's going to go through a number of specifics. We will be back here for questions when he's finished. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here, and I appreciate everyone in the audience right now. Before I get to present the fiscal year 13 budget, I do want to take a pause, and I think we should reflect on the significance of the message that the mayor just presented. It's a very, very significant message. It has some very significant recommendations in it. You'll see themes of this throughout the fiscal year 13 budget, but I do want to stress that the importance of what the mayor is saying is that it's a roadmap to the future. And if we implement things like that, it could help us avoid service cuts in the future. So I just want to point out to the city of Long Beach that the city manager department, the city employees totally embraced this philosophy, the departments, and as we go forward. So at this time, we're going to take a look at the budget. We're going to focus on the road ahead. During the past 9 years, we've shown significant fiscal discipline, and that puts us in a much better shape than many cities in California. Every time you pick up the paper, you see another city in crisis. We're not. In the past 9 years, we've eliminated about $209 million through deficit solutions. 857 employees in the general fund have been eliminated. That's 25% of the rank and file and 28% of our management employees. Those positions have been eliminated. We've consolidated departments, bureaus, and divisions, even eliminated a department or two. We've increased cost recovery through fees and charges. We're doing more efficient service deliveries. As the mayor pointed out, it's incredible that our employees are contributing more to their health care, retirements, and pensions as well. And we do, unfortunately, have reduced service levels. So the city has established a tradition of fiscal sustainability, and that's going to set the stage for us as we go forward in this budget. Despite declining budgets, an incredible amount of work has been accomplished. Our police and fire departments, facing incredible cuts during the past several years, continue to meet their core mission. We have leveraged resources to construct more capital improvement projects and arterial and residential streets than in the previous year. We provide a myriad of opportunities for family and youth to engage in our recreational and other educational opportunities that we provide throughout the various departments. We continue to look for efficiencies and reform to make the best use of your tax dollars. And while departments strive to find innovative ways to leverage our dollars, we have to recognize that with declining resources, services are going to be impacted. Let's look at what our deficit is. Last year at this time, when we had the community review budget booklet, we pointed out column one that we're looking at things now in a three-year increment as opposed to 1 year. We were anticipating last year that the three-year period of 13, 14, and 15 would be a $26 million deficit. Well, that has changed, and we've updated that. It's going to be an extra $7 million at $34.5 million deficit. Last year, we projected going into fiscal year 13, the deficit would be 16.4. No, it's 17.2. So that's the number that we have to strive to balance in this year's budget. And then you'll see it's up a little over $3 million in fiscal year 14 and almost $4 million in 15. And you can see 14 and 15, those changes reflect $7.5 million strictly from CalPERS increases. So we're going to talk about what are the components of a balanced budget. We have significant savings from pension reform that's been negotiated. I echo the mayor. I can't say enough about how our employee groups have come together, specifically our police officers association, our firefighters association, our attorneys, our prosecutors, our management association, our confidential association, our engineers, and our lifeguards. They've all come together to provide us significant potential savings. Also, the mayor and the city council, they've led by example. They've picked up a larger portion of their pension costs as well, and they've done that for several years. Without the negotiated pension savings from these groups, the number that we were talking about for fiscal year 13 would be much, much larger. That said, we continue to negotiate with our largest employee group, the IAM, International Association of Machinists. The fiscal year 13 proposed budget does not include any pension reform from this group, our largest union. So if indeed they were to come to the table shortly, we have some opportunities. But at this time, fiscal year 13 budget does not include anything from the IAM as we continue to deal with. Here's an example of the approach to our reductions. Our reduction scenarios are going to reflect fewer choices and options given the reductions that we've been doing for the past several years. We have to rethink what we do, and we want to focus on efficiencies and new methods of service delivery to maintain the services and our core services that we're currently providing. We want to develop and implement long-term changes to minimize the cost of services. We need to slow the growth of these costs. We want to continue to provide core services to the community and minimize service impacts wherever possible. The budget initiatives in fiscal year 13 are significant, so these are some significant things you'll see in the budget. Yes, the last thing of the components of a balanced budget, we're going to continue with our government reform and efficiencies. As the mayor pointed out, we are going to increase our oil dollars. We currently have budgeted at $55, we're increasing that to $65, and also it shows that we have a department deficit solution totaling $17.2 million. The proportionate share shows where our money is allocated. This is the general fund only. As you can see, police have the largest amount at approximately 49%. Fire is 19%. Others at 10%. That includes the city manager's department, development services, HR, financial management, health and human services, things like that. Public Works at 7, Parks, Rec, and Marine at 7. The elected and appointed officials at 5, and library services at 3%. Why is proportionate share important? The importance of proportional share is it's a more fair and equitable way of distributing the dollars in the city to our departments and our core services. Not only is it fair for our quality of life departments, but it ensures that some of our core departments continue to receive the dollars that they are necessary to receive. It ensures our police and fire receive the majority of the general fund and continues at 68%. So proportional share ensures that. It preserves funds to pay for all the other quality of life services, such as parks, libraries, code enforcement, and animal care. Absent proportional share, if we continue to have a budget strategy that we had just a few years ago, continue what we've been doing during the past decade. Basically, in 2030, 100% of our budget would be going to public safety. And then in 2030, there would still be expectations of more dollars there. So proportionate share is able to allow us to keep our quality of life departments and keep our quality of life in our city. It helps the city manage the growth of expenditures and department budgets. And if police and fire were exempt, if we totally exempted them and basically went forward in the way that we were doing, basically the cuts to the other departments would triple at about 300%. Our major budget initiatives, this was a little bit earlier, these are the more exciting things that you're going to see in this year's budget. We are going to do an academy, so we'll have a 40-person recruit academy. This will stabilize our staffing. It's certainly not going to begin to increase where we've been in the past few years, but at least it's going to stop the bleeding and hopefully stabilize the number of sworn officers that we have on the streets. So that's something that we'll want to begin immediately the first day of fiscal year 13. It will also maintain a 4-person engine company by realigning staff and operations. This offsets one-time funding that we utilized last year to provide for 4-person engines. You'll still see one less engine and continued life force staffing to deal with the one-time monies that were allocated last year. This provides more oil money for operations, again increasing the price of oil to $65 per barrel from $55. And as the mayor pointed out earlier, we are looking at potentially $17 million of one-time dollars from our oil funds. These are the upland oil funds that can be allocated to the general fund. We're recommending that these be spent in things like fire gender accommodations for our female firefighters, technology improvements. We've ignored a lot of the technology improvements during the past decade, and we need to come up to speed on that. We want to begin the police academy so that we can get police officers on the street as soon as possible, and we want to transition to a new paramedic service model that the chief can talk about later, perhaps. Now, here are the changes that you're going to see in the fiscal year 13 budget. These are the impacts of the $17.2 million reduction. We are going to implement an alternative paramedic service model, but that will increase paramedic service at a reduced cost. I believe we'll add about 3 new paramedic units to the city at a reduced cost. It's going to reduce police staffing for special assignments and transfer workload to other units or patrol officers. Another reduction will be police support services for personnel who assist in case preparation, crime analysis, prisoner transport, and administrative support. It's also going to finalize the consolidation of our South and West police divisions to create a central division. So instead of 4 police divisions in our city, we'll have 3. It also increases 7 officers in our titles that will be funded by the court to allow us to take better care of our homeland security areas out at the port and the marinas. We're going to seek program partners for Adaptive Recreation Senior Center and Nature Center as funding is reduced there. We want to focus our free and our subsidized after-school programs and our youth sports programs. These are the free ones. We want to focus those in our higher risk areas. You're going to see some swimming programs reduced primarily during the winter months. We're going to reduce the park ranger program at El Dorado Regional Park to primarily Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so some weekdays are going to get cut there. We're going to reduce programs and hours at the main library. This will be matching the branch libraries. You won't see any branch libraries reduce hours, but we are going to reduce the hours of the main library to match the branch libraries. 6 of our branch libraries are going to become self-service facilities. Currently, we have 3. This will provide 6 of them. It'll have full access to the library, but less professional librarian assistance. We're moving forward to have Wi-Fi at all our libraries. We'll have a self-service checkout system for books, but you are going to see us move more toward a self-service model at some of our libraries. We are recommending to reduce the sidewalk program from $3 million to $2 million. We're recommending that we reduce our tree trimming funding and competitively bid all of our remaining in-house tree trimming functions. We started that some time ago, and this is something that we want to complete to finalize all of the contracting out for our tree trimming services. We also want to enact proportionate share reductions in all of our other general fund departments, including appointed, elected, and alternative service departments. So here's where the rubber meets the road. How many employees are going to be impacted with this budget? So here is our estimate. This $17.2 million is going to reflect approximately 294 employees in the city of Long Beach are going to lose their jobs. In the general fund, we're looking at 159 employees, 43 sworn and 116 non-sworn. I want to point out of the sworn positions, basically, I believe seven of the sworn positions are vacant, but we won't lose any sworn positions to layoffs. This will only be through attrition. I can't say that about the other rank and file employees, the non-sworn. Out of the 116 employees that we have that are going to lose their job, 114 of those are filled positions. So you'll see 114 of the rank and file being affected. In our other funds, our enterprise funds, you'll see 134 positions affected, and 31 of those are filled. And these are water, airport, port, gas and oil, refuse, our enterprise funds. Some of the initiatives that you'll see for government reform, we've got a lot of government reform in the past several years, and we continue to look at that. We want to evaluate the alternative service delivery methods, including competitive bidding, as the mayor pointed out in his recommendations. We're embracing that, and you're seeing themes of that in the fiscal year 13 budget. We want to change the parameters for special pays and overtime. That's something that's extremely important to us, and we want to report back to the City Council as soon as possible on that. We want to combine like functions where we can. As the mayor pointed out, we have three fleet departments. We've got a fleet in Public Works, we've got a fleet in Water, and we've got a fleet in the Harbor Department. We want to analyze that to see, does that make sense or does it not make sense? We want to embrace the management partners' recommendations to at least the extent of analyzing those potential cost savings to see how they really fit when we get into the weeds on that. So, in summary, we're calling this basically the new normal. We have a new normal economy. It's going to make our challenges in delivering services even greater. We know that our revenues are not going to grow in this new economy. That's going to allow us to, provide revenue to buy our ways out of this. We're going to have to deal with our current level of services and our current costs. Costs and cost growth must be reduced through new methods of service delivery and other approaches. We have been and we will continue to be aggressive in developing solutions to maximize services to the community. We've done that in the past, and I'm sure we'll continue to do it in the future. We're going to have new models of service delivery that are going to be explored and put into action. We're also going to continue to pursue new revenue opportunities as a means to maintain services, similar to what you saw just recently, a new agreement with Office Depot to put a point of sale for internet sales in the city of Long Beach. So we're doing all sorts of things that we can to create revenue opportunities in Long Beach. So, the budget process. First off, I don't have in front of me, but we have the 4-inch thick document that will be available for anybody to look at. That's also on a CD. It'll be online today as well. We have our budget booklet. This is a very popular booklet. It kind of summarizes our entire budget, that 4 inches, in about 20 pages. So I encourage everybody to take a look at this. And it shows whatever you're interested in, if it's parks and rec, if it's airports, if it's libraries, you can go to the appropriate page and know exactly what's happening to potentially a service that you use a lot in the city. And it also gives a little bit of a history, a light reading on how did we get here and where are we going. We're also going to have an opportunity to hear from the public a lot. We're going to have budget oversight committee meetings. That's through the city council. These are regular meetings of a committee of council members. We have budget hearings that have been scheduled and more scheduled. Usually each council district hosts a variety of community meetings, and our city staff, our finance director will be there, I'll be there, our assistant city manager to answer questions or present the budget. We'll also have an interactive budget online system that we're producing right now. I think we'll unveil that on the council meeting on August 7th to show how you can interact with our budget and how you could provide input to the city via an online system. So currently we've had about 7 or 8 meetings already on the budget. We've had budget meetings there. And meetings that are tentatively scheduled include about 7 or 8 more before we adopt the budget. Before I conclude and turn this back over to the mayor, I can't thank our departments enough. You can imagine what it's like to be a department head, whether you're Chief McDonald or Chief DeRee or Mr. Chapman or Mr. Conway, and you're just faced again with just another another cut to your departments. They have to make these decisions that eliminate positions. These are incredibly hard decisions for these guys to make, and they make the hard decisions for the community of Long Beach. Nobody appreciates the fact that we have to lose positions or have people lose their jobs, but that's where we're at right now in this new normal. I can't say enough about our new finance director and our new budget managers. They're not so new anymore, but John Gross and Dennis Takata, they've just done a fantastic job in putting this budget together. And also the folk in the city manager's office that have been there every step of the way, our assistant city manager, Suzanne Frick, Tom Modica, Jill Martin, and Jeff Hall have just been fantastic in putting this budget together, working with all of the departments in the finance department. So with that, I thank you for all of your attention. And I'm going to turn this back over to Mayor Foster for questions.
A couple of first of all, the consolidation of gas, oil, and public works and water would seem to require a charter change for consolidation of water. How have you started looking at that? Are you looking at a charter change?
Well, I made specific reference to that area, but there may, first of all, there may be things that we can consolidate voluntarily. City manager mentioned that you have fleet services and a variety of enterprise funds. You might be able to consolidate those if you can do it voluntarily. You may also be able to do the sort of the street work out there voluntarily. But if in fact that doesn't occur and the analysis shows that they should be consolidating, we'll have to look at the legal end of that, and it may require a charge. You're absolutely right.
Second question, you mentioned the furlough lawsuit. Do you have any figures in the potential settlement for that?
Well, it's being appealed, I believe. I don't know the exact number.
It would be several million dollars, probably well above maybe $3 to $5 million.
In that range, in terms of the liability facing the city. I point that out because, you know, we had hoped to try to get the structural balance by the beginning of the end of 14 and the beginning of fiscal 15. And you get things you really, you maybe looking backwards, you could say, well, yeah, that might have been likely to happen. PERS is a good example. Every time they drop their investment target, as they did recently, every 25 basis points means, what, $7 million a year, John? I think that's right.
Yes.
$7 million a year. So, you know, you want to try to now look out and that is a lingering liability out there, and we're not budgeted for it. So we need to be prepared. If that comes in, we're going to have to either find one times or further cuts in those areas.
And then I'll hold off.
Okay. Yes, sir.
I believe the machinist union, if they agreed to pension reform, that would bring $3.9 million into the general fund this year. Has there been any thought given to where that would go?
I'll let the city manager answer that in detail, but I think this is what the fortunate share does. If, in fact, I think it's $3 million in this year, but more in subsequent years, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct, John?
It's about $3.9 million
each year.
Well, 3.9 one time. If the savings continues permanently, we typically say it's a $3.9 million savings.
Okay. Numbers move around a little bit, but let's call it four. I think those savings remain in the IAM areas of that other city. Is that correct?
Yes, Mayor. There's again, I want to make it clear that IAM has not agreed to this proposal yet, but it would be $3.9 million. The cost of the loaded cost of an IAM employee is approximately $75,000. So some of that, those dollar savings will go to protect positions, but some potentially would protect programs and other things. So it's hard for us to give you exact where that's going to go because we'd have to work through our civil service system and work with the city council to implement the budget. But it certainly would make a huge difference if the IAM did vote on this proposal positively.
Well, put a fine point on it. You saw the budget numbers, the deficit numbers, that were reduced each year by $4 million, roughly. Correct?
We have a $34.5 million projected shortfall. It would subtract $4 million, so it would be about $30 million.
Over the 3 years?
Yes. Speaking of that, you mentioned the potential for a ballot initiative on pension reform. You only have 10 days to get it on in November. When would you suggest that you go to that, especially with the IAM contract?
I'm not really worried about deadlines for November. I'm not sure we can go in November. The savings are so substantial, it could be in an election off of November. And remember, not only saving, you're saving $4 million or so in the general fund, you're saving about $12 million in all funds. And you eventually start doing what we have to do, which is to start taking that line that's going upward and bending it down. You've got to lower those future costs. And by having employees pay additional money towards their pension, but more importantly, having the retirement age reduced for new employees and having the formula altered, you start reducing your future unfunded liability. And that's really what we have to look at. We've got to look 20 years out. And it's very hard for policymakers to look 20 years out because they're always affected by the immediate, but that has to be done. Okay, I don't see any more. Yes. Sure. Knock yourself out, Eric.
In terms of the fire reorganization cut, however you'd like to phrase it, that is including the cuts that were made last year, the closure last year, 17. And have you made that decision in terms of where that new engine would be, or where the engine would be reduced?
In reference to where that reduction will take place, we're in the process of calculating data as we speak. We'll make that determination probably at the end of August, early September, based on the data we're able to mine, and we'll put that out there probably about that time. At this point, we haven't made that decision yet.
Okay, but you expect to, you say early September, so it should happen before the budget's passed?
We will know where that reduction will be probably early September, yes.
Thank you. Can I go to the other chief? Chief, have you figured in terms of the consolidation of the South and West divisions, how much management will be reduced?
Yeah, by consolidating the four divisions to three, we'll be able to have savings of a commander, a lieutenant, and I believe three officers. As far as what the configurations of those boundaries will be for each of the new stations, that's something that's a study that's still underway. We're looking at workload. We're looking at the geography of it, response time issues, and other related issues to determine that.
Any other questions? I want to thank you all for being here. I just want to conclude by saying, you know, this is we've really been on a path almost to a trick every year to try to solve our budget problems in that manner. Probably without thinking about it, that's in effect doing that in the hope that we're going to return to the good old days of the booming economy, and I think that's extraordinarily unlikely. So we need to think differently. That's what my message is about. That's what city management message is about. We have to look at everything, and there can't be anything that's a favorite. We need our job, all of our jobs, ultimately, is to do the best we can for our residents. That's our responsibility. Not to worry about, any particular employee group, not to worry about whether or not, geez, it'd be nice to do this with city employees, and we have to perform this function, we've been doing it for years. No, everything has to be considered, because we really do have, we have a responsibility to get this to a structurally balanced budget in a reasonable time, and it's got to be, we don't have the luxury that other higher governmental entities have of either borrowing money or finding, sticking money in special accounts and all that. Ends have to be here. And that's the difficulty and the beauty of local government. It's very transparent. We've got to make this budget balance every year. And the benefit of looking 3 years out is to get a better idea of where we're going. And the real benefit is you really need to look out at least 10 years. That's a responsibility we have for people that are coming after us. So I want to thank you. This is not fun, I will tell you. Nobody should take any special pleasure in the changes that have to take place. but they need to be done. That's where we have to go. So I appreciate all your attention. Look forward to the 6 or 7 weeks of budget discussion. Thank you.